Hello, Disney fans, and welcome to the show. My name is Austin Terrace, and I'm joined here today by my wonderful sister, Emma.
Hi, everyone.
Coming up on this episode of Disney Daydream, Disney Cruise Line cancels all sailings through December 2020, and changes have been made to the virtual queue procedure for Rise of the Resistance. Later on, we'll talk about major layoffs that have been made to entertainment cast members at Walt Disney World. So, take a little break in your busy day, and let's start daydreaming. Forget to follow us on our social media accounts. On Instagram, you can find us at Diz Daydream. Like our Facebook page, Disney Daydream Podcast. Send us an email anytime at DizDaydream@gmail.com. And make sure that you have subscribed to us on your favorite streaming platform and that you've left us a rating and a review. That really helps out our show, and it makes sure that when people search for Disney, when they're on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, that our show appears as one of the top search results. So we would appreciate it if you could just take a couple seconds and do that as well. Our show is sponsored by our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/DisneyDaydream, as well as by Daydream Travel Agency. Check out daydreamtravelagency.com if you are considering planning a trip to Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney, or Aulani. I personally run that travel agency, and I would love to assist you and make your next trip as magical as possible for as low of a cost as we can manage. So if you are planning a trip to Disney, using a travel agent does not cost you anything. daydreamtravelagency.com. And if you want to sport around some wonderful Disney Daydream merchandise, you can do so at teespring.com/stores/DizDaydream. Make sure to get your things like coffee mugs, stickers, t-shirts, phone cases, etc., etc. You can do that on our Teespring store. Now, we've done 35 episodes, and I've introduced them all the same exact way, except for this one, so you're probably wondering, what's going on with Kylie? Why is she not here? You're missing the best part of the show. And Emma and I agree, but unfortunately, Kylie got sick. Don't worry, she is recovering. She's okay. She's at home, and her period of quarantine isolation is not up yet, but Kylie is fine. If you have already turned the episode off because you know she's not going to be a part of this one, I'm not going to blame you. I understand. We can be a little disappointing, but we'll try to be as interesting as we can this time around. So I'm sure Kylie appreciates your thoughts, and she'll be back with us very soon. Let's hop into the news then. Our first story, Disney Cruise Line cancels all sailings through December of 2020. Well, no surprise here. It's now just official. Disney will not be operating any cruises until 2021. After coming to this decision, Disney Cruise Line released the following statement. Our team at DCL remains focused on the health and well-being of our guests and team members. We are carefully reviewing the guidance from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and working together with industry partners on a path to resuming operations. As we continue to refine our protocols for our eventual return to service, we've decided to cancel all sailings through December 2020. Guests booked on affected sailings who have paid their reservation in full will be offered the choice of a cruise credit to be used for future sailing or a full refund. Guests who have not paid their reservation in full will automatically receive a refund for what they have paid so far. Affected guests and travel agents will receive an email from Disney Cruise Line outlining details and next steps. So again, this news is not going to surprise anyone, especially if you're paying attention to the current COVID numbers in America. I mean, health experts have been telling us for months that the winter would be very difficult, and it's looking like they're 100% correct. It seems like each day that passes, we are getting more daily records for amount of cases, and right at the end of October, I think to the surprise of some people, the CDC actually let the no-sail order expire, and they established a framework for passenger cruises to eventually resume. So the plan includes testing for crew members, ensuring cruise ship operators have adequate health and safety measures, simulated voyages to test operations, and certification for ships that meet all requirements before any sailings can begin. So even though this order expired, it's not like cruising could just go back to normal. Every company is going to have to demonstrate to the CDC that they can sail safely before they're allowed to resume operation. And Disney basically decided that they wouldn't be able to get everything squared away and organized by the end of the year. So they're looking into the early months of 2021. I think another important consideration that played a role here was that most sailings in December are very maritime holiday cruises. Those come with a lot of extra preparation and money, essentially, because you're providing additional experiences and entertainment, pretty sizable decorating costs. The ships are completely transformed for those cruises. So to me, it's understandable that Disney felt that's just too much to accomplish in such a short period of time. The last important point that we should mention here is that the maiden voyage of the Disney Wish has been officially postponed from January 2022 to the summer of 2022. And that's important because they have released the first months of cruises for 2022. Disney Wish has obviously not been included in any of those. So the summer of 2022 is the earliest we can expect. And don't be surprised if that gets pushed back even more. But all right, so let's talk about the idea of Disney having to run some of these simulated cruises or test cruises with people before they can just open up bookings to the general public. Would you be interested in being a part of one of those, like, guinea pig test cruises?
I don't really know. I mean, I guess it's a Disney cruise, you know? I mean, it wouldn't be the same, probably, but I don't really know. What do you think?
Well, I think if I were to consider it, it would be on Disney. Like, I wouldn't consider going on to Carnival's test cruise. No offense to that company, but I would feel much safer and comfortable on a Disney cruise ship. But honestly, with numbers like this, I'm not doing any, like, test situation where I'm going to be on a boat with a bunch of people. I read an article a couple days ago. I don't know what company it was. It was a really small company, but they were running one of these, and they did have somebody on the cruise ship test positive, so everybody is, like, quarantining. Another, like, cruise ship quarantine situation, which, if that happens to you, would just be absolutely miserable. So I don't think I would hop on a cruise ship until much, much later. Those kind of worry me. And also, again, we've talked about this before, but just the actual experience of cruising, so much would be modified and taken away. I just don't know how it would be fun. And they're going to have to drop these prices dramatically for me to be interested in that. Also, it's sad to think about, but they have not continued that 125% cruise credit. Do you remember they were doing that for the first few months of the pandemic, where if your cruise was canceled, you didn't just get that money back, but the cruise credit was 125%. That's no longer happening, so if you have recently booked a cruise and it gets canceled, it's just going to be like a full refund or full credit situation. No longer more than what you paid. So that's important to remember. If you're looking for that, it's not going to happen. There have been some virtual queue changes for Rise of the Resistance because basically the process since Disney's reopened has been a mess for this ride. So they're trying to make things better, and Emma has some details about that.
Yeah, so the changes started on November 3rd. These changes are for the virtual queue to get the boarding pass for the ride. So guests with a valid ticket or annual pass and a park reservation for Hollywood Studios are able to access the virtual queue system starting at 7 a.m. the day of their park reservation. From there, you can check for any available boarding groups. For people who weren't able to join a boarding group earlier in the day, the virtual queue reopens at 2 p.m. each day. To access this queue, you have to actually be in the park, and there's no guarantee that there will be any availability. The virtual queue is only accessible from the My Disney Experience app. And overall, this update provides a much better and easier ride experience with shorter wait times. It's a lot easier to just go on. You don't have to be in the park the first thing to actually get a boarding pass. It's just nearby, and there was a story about someone 2 hours away who had access to the virtual queue, so nearby seems pretty, like, a pretty large
location. Yeah, it's a pretty liberal definition of nearby, but it makes sense. I mean, theoretically, it should just be open to everybody everywhere who has a park reservation that day, right? Like,
yeah.
The location for that 7 a.m. one doesn't really matter. This is essentially two changes. Change number one is that there are two times where you can reserve your boarding group now instead of one at the beginning of the park. And then just the expansion of not having to physically be in the park for that 7 a.m. one. And people were getting frustrated. Like, they were making park reservations and they were getting there at 7 a.m. and then literally, like, within seconds, all of the boarding groups fill up, and they're not able to get on the ride during the day. It's just, when you're in the park, we all have been there, and it's like, why don't I have service here?
Yeah.
Like, why is my battery dead at 10 a.m.? Why can't I, like, make this phone call, and why is the My Disney Experience app down? It's just, everything is so finicky in the theme parks. It would just be so incredibly frustrating if this is like your one day to experience Hollywood Studios, because we've also seen that this is the park that fills up in terms of park pass reservations way more than any other theme park, Magic Kingdom sometimes, but mostly when you go to reserve a park, you're going to see that Hollywood Studios is booked up, and it's just like, okay, those 5 seconds passed, I didn't get a reservation, I guess I'm not experiencing this ride. So now, you know, you have two opportunities. You still have to be on exactly at 7 a.m. If you wait even a few seconds afterwards, you're not going to get it. And then at 2 o'clock again, you have to try it right at 2. If you're waiting until 2:01, you're out of luck. So there is some luck that plays into this whole thing, which is kind of frustrating, but I think they also might consider, like, a change to the ride vehicle to get more people on this ride, and I don't know, more changes might be coming, because it's such a popular attraction, and if, like, a majority of people don't get to experience it, you have some problems. You gotta think of a better solution. One other thing we might want to bring up is that, I don't know about you, but for most people that I have been reading or watching, it seems like in the parks, they're being very, very conservative about the wait time estimates. And I've heard that overall, actual waits for rides are sometimes consistently half of what they are publishing. So even though Disney, it seems like more people are in the parks, and we have waits that are up and above an hour now, which hadn't happened for the first few months, that still, if you see something that it's an hour, a lot of times it could be as short as 30 minutes or 40 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume that they're estimating them to be longer than they are because of social distancing. So maybe the queue, like the line appears longer than it actually is. But yeah, that's definitely interesting because I don't know, you wouldn't expect the waits to be very long, and maybe that's to encourage people to go to a different attraction at a certain time. If they say the wait is longer than it really is, that might make you want to go somewhere else first. So
yeah, it could. It could also help out with spacing, because yeah, the queues are stretching out way beyond the entrance to the ride, you know, and you don't necessarily want your line crisscrossing the entire theme park. Like, if they just had standby for Rise of the Resistance, you'd be lined up through the parking lot of Hollywood Studios. You might be all the way back into, like, Boardwalk or something like that. So I think they might be trying to account for that. And overall, Disney is usually on the safer side. Like, they very rarely will have you wait longer than their listed time, which I appreciate. But just know that if you have a reservation coming up, that you might see something that's 45 minutes and you could just be in line for 25. So don't worry too much about not being able to do everything. Only worry about getting that Rise of the Resistance reservation, because if you're not on at the exact time, you're not going to be riding it that day. All right, and we are going to head into our topic next. It's going to be just a discussion about some news that was pretty unfortunate. Massive Disney World Entertainment layoffs. So we'll have that topic for you coming right up. So I usually look forward to days where we record very much. Today, it wasn't really one of those days because this is such a difficult topic for me to talk about. If you're a new listener to the show, I come from, and really all three of us, we come from an artistic background where music and performing is very near and dear to our hearts. Singing has been my main thing, but I've also done a lot of theater as well, and I studied music education in college, so any bad news when it comes to live performances at Disney is particularly devastating to me. Unfortunately, Disney's decided to lay off many equity actors throughout its theme parks as part of the 28,000 job quota that it announced last month. At this point, live entertainment has been essentially gutted in the parks, and there's a huge question mark surrounding the future of live entertainment at Disney World. Specifically, entertainers who brought the following shows and experiences to life were affected: at Magic Kingdom, Citizens of Main Street, Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor. At Epcot, the non-principal singers of the Voices of Liberty. At Hollywood Studios, Citizens of Hollywood, Beauty and the Beast, Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular, Jedi Training Academy, The Green Army Men, and Voyage of the Little Mermaid. Then at Animal Kingdom, Pandora Utility Suit, Festival of the Lion King, Finding Nemo the Musical, and then at the resorts, the Hoop-Dee-Doo Musical Review and the Grand Floridian Society Orchestra. All performers from all of those shows have been laid off. It's heartbreaking to see any of this entertainment disappear at Disney World, but the two cuts at these resorts, they have some historical significance too. The Hoop-Dee-Doo Musical Review has been a permanent fixture since September 4th, 1974, and it's regarded as one of the longest-running dinner shows in the country. And then we have the Grand Floridian Society Orchestra. This is something that a lot of people don't really know anything about, but this was an incredible ensemble. They had been performing at the hotel since its opening 32 years ago, and since the pandemic, They have been playing Disney show tunes at the Theater of the Stars in Hollywood Studios, which is where the live Beauty and the Beast show took place. They've been performing like a different show 7 days a week, doing 9 shows a day. There are a lot of things wrong with the Grand Floridian as a resort, but this group, when they were playing in the lobby, really added that sense of luxury to the resort. I was lucky enough to see them perform the last time our family took a little vacation detour and went to visit the Grand Floridian lobby, and I didn't want to leave. I just wanted to stay and listen. I mean, seriously, like, a group that is able to perform with each other, like, consistently the same group of musicians for over 30 years is just incredible. And they were the perfect example of added Disney magic that you don't expect to find. Like, I had no idea that this group existed. You just stumble upon it, but then it's something that sticks with you forever, and you just really remember and embrace that experience. Bettina Buckley, Vice President of Walt Disney World Resort Live Entertainment, issued the following statement regarding these layoffs. Walt Disney World Resort offers a treasure trove of experiences for guests of all ages. We recognize that part of the magic of visiting any Disney park is seeing favorite Disney friends and discovering one-of-a-kind shows and performances. Since reopening, we've continued to offer modified character experiences and entertainment throughout our resort, while also taking the appropriate steps for the health and safety of our guests and cast members. Recently, we've had to make some difficult decisions to reduce our workforce as the business impacts from the COVID-19 pandemic have become more long-lasting than anyone could have predicted. As a result, we've had to pause many live shows and entertainment experiences at our resort for longer than originally anticipated. Determining which shows can return and when is a complex process. As with the rest of our phased reopening, we will also consider the guidance of health officials and government agencies in determining when the time will be right to adjust capacity, and as soon as it's appropriate, we will start to bring additional entertainment back. Like most of our fans, we know that our beloved entertainment cast are an incredibly special and essential part of the Disney experience. We look forward to the day when we can welcome back more live entertainment to our parks, and we will share more news about these announcements as we're able to do so. I just think it's important to, and that's the end of the quote, but I think it's important to mention that all of these cuts have been made months after the Walt Disney Company decided to restore the salaries of senior executives to pre-COVID levels. And if you're a longtime listener, you might remember, like, we covered that news story, and we congratulated Disney when their executives made the decision to take pay cuts back in April. Bob Iger agreed to forego 100% of his salary. Bob Chapek took a 50% pay cut, and then vice presidents throughout the company took cuts between 20 to 30%. Those cuts were supposed to last until Disney saw, quote, a substantive recovery in business, end quote. But they only lasted until August 23rd, just over 5 months. So, apparently reporting a $2 billion loss for the Parks, Experiences, and Products division in the third quarter of the fiscal year constitutes a substantive recovery in business. It's really bad optics. And then, like, the story of, like, oh, this redone entrance to Magic Kingdom and the Walt Disney World Resort, we just completed that, like, coming out the same day as these cuts. It's just, some things don't look very good. I'll have more about this later, but there are a lot of things that are concerning to me about this and about some moves that Disney's chosen to make. Let's go to Emma now. I want to hear your thoughts, and also just give us a short description of what some of these shows and entertainment offerings are.
Well, first of all, I want to comment about the salary thing. That is just absolutely ridiculous. I also feel very strongly about these entertainment cuts, and I think they should have done more to prevent it. And I realize that they're in a really tough position, and you can't have these shows going on right now. But to actually lay them off rather than just waiting longer. It's just really upsetting to me. But into the descriptions of the shows, starting at Magic Kingdom, the citizens of Main Street are actors who just take you right back to the early 20th century. And, you know, they are just walking around Main Street, USA. And then the Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor is an interactive comedy show featuring the monsters from Monsters, Inc. Moving on to Epcot, the Voices of Liberty is a very talented group of singers that perform at Epcot. Hollywood Studios, the citizens of Hollywood are basically just like the citizens of Main Street. They portray people from early 20th century Hollywood. Beauty and the Beast Live on Stage is a stage musical version of the movie Beauty and the Beast. Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular is a stunt show with Indiana Jones. The Jedi Training Academy Trials of the Temple is where kids train how to be a Jedi and battle against the dark side. The Green Army Men are in Toy Story Land, and they're actors dressed as Green Army Men who... really entertaining, you know. And then Voyage of the Little Mermaid is a stage musical version of The Little Mermaid. At Animal Kingdom, the Festival of the Lion King is a Broadway-style show with the inhabitants of the Pride Lands at a grand gala in honor of Simba. Finding Nemo the Musical is the Broadway-style musical version of Finding Nemo. And the Pandora Utility Suit is literally a 10-foot-tall mechanical suit that roams Pandora. So, I just think that's really cool. I didn't even realize that was a thing until I was reading about it. And then at the resorts, the Hoop-Dee-Doo Musical Review at Fort Wilderness. We've talked about this before, but it's a dinner theater show. And then the Grand Floridian Society Orchestra, obviously at the Grand Floridian. Austin talked about this. It's a band there who have been performing together for 32 years. So I was just so sad when Austin sent Kylie and I this news. I was so upset. Of course, the thing that upset me the most was Finding Nemo the Musical, because I would literally die for that show. I don't even know. It's so good. It just makes me want to cry. Like, I listened to that show, the soundtrack.
Yeah, and just, I mean, the whole experience of that is so cool. Mm-hmm. The theater is great. It's a wonderful atmosphere, and the puppetry is gorgeous, and the scenery and the singing is always phenomenal, and it mm-hmm. actually contains really great music.
Yeah.
And you get pretty emotional watching it. I mean, it's a real... You feel like you've experienced a full 2.5-hour traditional musical journey in the space of about 30 minutes.
Yeah, and adding on to that, the actors in it are all actually singing. Unlike some other shows where only a couple of them are singing and the rest is a recording. So, yeah, I just really appreciate the show for actually being an authentic live musical. And, I mean, I do a lot of theater, and I'm planning on going to college for musical theater, so obviously, like, that's just really important to me. So I think that's, like, a big reason why these cuts are so upsetting. But moving on from Finding Nemo, cutting the street performers, and I mean really anything on this list, is going to change the entire Disney experience. And our family's so invested in performing, so I mean we might be a little biased towards the entertainment, but just think about it. Imagine walking into Magic Kingdom and not seeing those classic characters wandering around, like, those people just, like, I don't know, it really sets the tone. And just knowing that you aren't going to be able to go and see these shows, It's just completely different. And I also can't imagine not making fun of Beauty and the Beast live on stage or Voyage of the Little Mermaid. I say that because those are the shows that use recordings and not actual singers, and I think it's really funny. And they need an update, but that's besides the point. My point is that every show at Disney brings something truly valuable to the parks, except maybe Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor. But it's really sad news for everyone. And we can only hope that most of these shows come back someday, and preferably that day is soon.
Yeah, well, change is never easy, especially for a lot of Disney fans. And I don't think we're trying to say that every live performing show at Disney is perfect or needs to remain or be unchanged, just like the ones Emma brought up. I also don't think that it's very cool to have these quote-unquote live performances that utilize recordings in Beauty and the Beast and Voyage of the Little Mermaid. We've mentioned this before. They completely need to be changed. And Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor, it's one of those things where, yeah, you love it, you hate it. It doesn't have a lot of repeatability. And after the first or second time you do it, you're kind of over it. But, you know, for people who are coming to the first for their first time experiencing that attraction, I do think it's pretty cool for them. But I also don't want to think about a Disney world where these types of shows and experiences don't exist. Look, I mean, I understand that most of the performers haven't been working since the pandemic started. I realize that they can't just do what they used to do when we're still living in the midst of this disease. You're not just going to go pack a theater and have guests sit through the half-hour performance of Finding Nemo the Musical or Festival of the Lion King at this point in time. Which, Festival of the Lion King, that's a huge loss, too. Mm-hmm. That's a really epic show with great, great, phenomenal singing, audience interaction, acrobatics. I mean, that show has it all as well. You know, Disney is arguably the most influential and innovative media and entertainment company in the world. Am I supposed to believe that they couldn't find some creative, safe way to utilize more of these performers throughout the resort until we emerge on the other side of this pandemic? We've seen them do it with certain experiences, like the principal singers in The Voices of Liberty. They're still performing. There's a modified version of the Frozen sing-along. And the character cavalcades have been a really cool and creative way to replace the parades. It just seems like this was really extreme. And some of you are probably like, no, this is just natural. Of course, the entertainers have to go right now. But they're going to a huge extent. We didn't just lose 25% of cast members with those 28,000. This cut to entertainment represented 720 out of 780 equity actors. That's over 90% of their most elite experienced performers gone. That's huge. When you take a Disney World vacation, it's special for a lot of reasons. Of course, the theming and architecture of just being in the parks and at the resorts, that's wonderful. The attractions are incredible. There's a lot of great shopping and dining, but that's not what takes it over the top. The little added bit of pixie dust that elevates the experience to a whole new level are the real people who are bringing the resort to life day after day. The frontline cast members and the entertainers and performers. Those special interactions with cast members can't be replaced or replicated. And I think that's something that Walt recognized from the very beginning. So for me, the entertainment layoffs are forcing me to draw a line in the sand. I understand how hard these last 9 months have been for Disney. I'm not trying to just drag them through the dirt. I know it must be tough. I don't envy having to make these types of choices. So I'm giving the company a pass until the worst of the pandemic's over. Knock on wood, cross your fingers, whatever you want to do. Hopefully this vaccine can be administered to most of the American population by this time next year. But we just have to wait and see. Making predictions now is not like a very good thing to do. But in my book, Disney just needs to plow through. They have to do whatever they have to do to get through this time. But when we're able to start considering a return to normal, Disney has to prioritize their cast members. If they don't bring back equity actors in live entertainment in a real way, I'm not going back. In this industry, people can't be replaced, and as fans, we're all going to have to insist that Disney demonstrates that it cares about the people who are running these parks. And me just saying I might possibly not go back to Disney probably has a lot of listeners like, what is he talking about? They think I sound crazy and overdramatic, but I don't think I'm being crazy and overdramatic. We can't be naive about this. Think about who's pulling the strings at the top. It's Bob Chapek nowadays, a guy who thought it was still a good idea to move away from equity actors and eliminate entertainment in the World Showcase during a time when the parks were making more money than ever before. He's wanted to do this for a long time, and COVID gave him the perfect excuse. So the fans, we have to come together and we have to demand that these cast members return. If we don't do that, going to a Disney World with a reduced staff and scarce entertainment will just become the new normal. And if Disney can get away with it and it helps their bottom line, they'll do it. At this moment, it might just seem like a financial decision, just a necessary step to save money. But you know what? Restoring full executive pay, continuing to budget millions for the construction of Reflections when half of the resorts remain closed, issuing stock buybacks, and paying out over $1 billion in dividends, those are all financial decisions too. And all those decisions, stacked up and added up over time, they speak volumes about the company's priorities. So I might just be super upset and dramatic at the moment, but that's the new reality for me. Post-pandemic, I'm not going back to Disney unless these cast members start to return in significant numbers. So, sorry if this episode felt like a downer. We've tried to kind of do some more like entertaining fantasy-like episodes recently where we stay away from COVID topics, talking about bucket list trips and Disney princess movies ranked, but we just couldn't ignore that situation today. But the good news is we don't have to just like sit here and do nothing. There are ways that we can help. If you're able to, and you want to support the cast members who have lost their jobs, check out the Cast Member Pantry. This wonderful group is putting together bags of groceries that furloughed or laid off cast members can pick up once a week to help cut down on food expenses. You can donate to this organization through Venmo at Cast Member Pantry. Sorry. Or you can connect with them through email, castmemberpantry@gmail.com. You can also get more information and connect with them on their Facebook page. Just search the Cast Member Pantry on there if you want some more info and you want to kind of see some examples of what they're doing and how they're helping these people out. So anything else to add today, Emma?
I mean, yeah, I'm just really upset. And if Bob Chapek is really going to use this to take away a lot of the entertainment side of things at Disney World, I'm going to be really upset as well. And yeah, I mean, I agree with what you were saying, Austin. I don't think we can just go back, even though it's Disney. And we love Disney and we want to be there. We can't just go back like nothing happened. It's not the same, and we want that back when it's safe to bring it back.
Right. So hopefully the words of that vice president, Bettina Buckley, hopefully her words were true. And I mean, I have to say, I still have faith in Josh D'Amaro that he really cares about his cast members and the guest experience. So hopefully we will hear frequent announcements about the plans for live entertainment to return. And again, I don't want to just be like, you can't change anything at Disney. All these shows have to remain. if you're not going to bring back that Beauty and the Beast show in Voyage of the Little Mermaid that have been running for many, many years and have been tired, honestly, then that's fine. Thoughtful changes can always be made. Innovative changes can be made. It's just 90% of your best live entertainers can't be let go in one foul swoop. That is just not something that is going to sit well with anybody who really cares about the elevated, full Disney experience. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Disney Daydream Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it and that you'll join us for the next one. Remember, be kind to one another and take the time to find a magical moment in each and every day.